Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing, for what you've done, and what you're going to do. We look to you with anticipation and faith. Have your way. Now, Lord, would you give, I pray that you help me just to share your truth in your heart. Lord, I pray, help me, Lord. May I decrease and may you increase, Lord, so that your will is done, your word is heard, and you get the glory for fruit, much fruit that remains. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down any scripture references this morning you may want to take with you. I invite you to join me in the New Testament book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament, Matthew, last chapter, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll ask to put a few verses on the screen that we won't turn to for sake of time, but I'll read a few verses here in Matthew 28 and then over in 1 Corinthians 15 if you want to write those down. So, Matthew chapter 28 and beginning in verse 1. Matthew 28, 1. Still hear some of the pages rustling. That's good. And we'll give you a moment there to share in that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, the guards can just stay down. Said to the women, y'all don't need to be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And then verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. I think they probably had a little extra adrenaline on that run after that experience. And so they run out. If you hold your spot there in Matthew 28, let me read you a few verses from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. They probably have it on the screen. It says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile or empty. You are still in your sins. Think about that. Then verse 18, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ will never see them again. They've perished, and that was it. If Christ didn't rise. But verse 20 says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This morning, I just want to take the time that we have to share this message. Jesus is still changing lives. Jesus is still changing lives. Would you please turn to someone next to you and just inform them of that good news? Jesus is still changing lives. Christianity literally stands or falls on Jesus' resurrection. And if Jesus was not raised from the dead, he lied and deceived people. But if, in fact, he was raised from the dead as he said he would, it proves that he is who he said he was and is. He is the sinless Son of God, our Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And that this morning, I just want to continue on in a little series I started last week in the devotional. It's a 21-day devotional, Walk in Newness of Life. Last week, I shared a message based on days 1 and 2. Is there a God? And can the Bible be trusted? That's so important. if we don't trust the Bible, then we throw everything else out of kilter. But if there is evidence, not only that there is a God, but that this book we call the Bible really is breathed out by God and inspired by His Spirit, it has God's authority on every area it addresses, and it would be wise for us to receive it that way and live by it. So today, what evidence is there to support the resurrection of Jesus? Because, I mean, we can say that, but what evidence is it? And I wrote that devotional. I really want to be a tool that people use. In fact, I wrote it for, I guess, 3 reasons. One, to lead people to Jesus. That's why I took those first few days to really, to just kind of go into it. If someone never heard about Jesus, Christianity, and go right into genuine salvation. Second, I wrote it to encourage fellow believers in our walk with the Lord. And then third, to equip us to do the work of ministry as Jesus called us to do. If you're still there in Matthew 28, would you look at verse 18 right toward the end? These are the final words of Jesus recorded in Matthew before he returned to heaven. And Jesus said this in Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. So if he has all of it, how much is left for the devil? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And now I'm commissioning you under my authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples, not pew warmers, not church attenders, not streamers. Make disciples, those who are believe and follow Jesus. Make disciples of all ethnic groups, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And if you've been a believer for any length of time, you already know this. But our faith in God and our faith in the authority of His Word will be challenged and will be tested. So let's be prepared, because I want to give you one more scripture here. Let me read this to you. I typically read from the New King James, but this is from the ESV. It's 1 Peter 3:15. It says this. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared. Would you please say that with me? Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So thank God that's what I hope to do in this devotional. We started last week and went into it a little bit on Wednesdays. On Wednesdays, it's time for your input. I want to hear your takeaways, what you got out of maybe day 3, and we'll look at the closing questions together. I just want to keep it simple. I believe I have responsibility, according to Scripture and Lord, to equip you so that you can make disciples of others. And this is just a part of how I hope to do it here. All right? It's not the only tool. It's a tool. But I hope that it will be a blessing and something that you can use. So what evidence is there that Jesus really came back to life from the dead? And I don't have time to go into the full devotional, but that's where we have a little freedom on Wednesdays. But I will say this, just real quick. The eyewitness testimonies, I'll go into that. The empty tomb, that's evidence because it was specifically mentioned. And here is all anyone would have had to do at that time to stop Christianity in its tracks. All they would have had to do is go to that specific tomb that was cut out of the grave that a man owned, and he rented it out for 3 days. It had never been used. And all they had to do was go to that tomb and say, nope, there's a body right there. Y'all are hallucinating. But for 2,000 years, that tomb was empty, and there's still no body because the body is no longer here. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He sent His Holy Spirit to be His body through us. And then, and this is the main one I want to center on today, is the changed lives of those who saw Him after He was raised from the dead. Let me read you this once again, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5. The Bible says that Jesus was seen by Cephas. That's another name for Peter. then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep just is the New Testament word for believers when they die. They just fell asleep. Their body's sleeping. He's going to come wake them up and match them back with their spirit. But think about this again. When this letter was written, most of these believers were still alive. It would have been very easy to either deny or confirm these claims. So thank God. They said, no, he's alive. We saw him and he's changed our lives. And then he goes on, he says this in verse 7. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and then verse 8. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. And so even after Jesus ascended to heaven, he appeared to this man and he so changed his life that he took this one who was known as Saul, who was one of Christianity's greatest attackers and persecutors. He tried to get followers of Jesus to blaspheme the name of Jesus. But when he saw Jesus on his road to arrest believers, and he saw him in his resurrection glory brighter than the sun and was blinded for 3 days and didn't eat or drink for 3 days, until another brother came and laid hands on him and prayed for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and God took those scales off his eyes. He so changed him that he became one of Christianity's greatest defenders and promoters, and God used that man to write 13 books in the New Testament. Jesus still changing lives. That wasn't just 2,000 years ago. Now, if you're in Matthew, would you join me in the book of Acts? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and if y'all will allow me to, I don't know what that heat on, I think it's about 90 up here. I don't want to freeze anyone, but Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, this former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let me back up to say, ask, why did Jesus suffer? It says after his suffering. Why did he suffer? He suffered and died on the cross to show how much God loved us. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated God's love. He suffered to pay for our sins. Think about that, please. The judgment for every one of our sins was placed on Jesus. Some sins we don't even know about. But Jesus suffered and died to bear the wrath of God against our sins so that, thank God, we could experience his mercy and forgiveness. That's why he suffered and died. He restored us to right relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. And then after he returned back to heaven, he sent God's Holy Spirit to indwell us and empower us to live for him and to reach others for him. That's what I'll keep reading here in verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And they saw Jesus, and he changed them. And if you look over chapter 5 or chapter 4, let me read you that. Acts chapter 4. I'll read just a couple verses in 4 and 5. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. You believe Jesus is still changing lives? Amen. Verse 7 says, and when they had set them, the apostles, in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Because they prayed for a man in the resurrection name of Jesus, and that man was healed. He couldn't walk, and he started walking. It says he was walking, leaping, and praising God going into the temple. That's a good way to come to church. And if you can't come in that way, God willing, we can go out that way. So he says in verse 8, so Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged by a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made whole, verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name or the authority, the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you whole. All right, now chapter 5 and verse 40. Because they were rejoicing, I'm sure, but they threatened them and actually beat them. Acts 5:40, and they agreed with him. There was a council among these religious leaders, and they told him not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So what did they do? Verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ, Jesus as the Messiah. They saw Jesus and he changed them, and they went out and boldly proclaimed, Jesus is alive. Yes. And we need to believe in him and follow him. And I want you to please think about not only this persecution, I'm not making light of that, but they willingly suffered that persecution. They willingly suffered, some of them, just the ridicule, the abuse, the beating. Some of them suffered the confiscation of their goods. And to this day, I was just read an email this morning from one of the ministries we support of how believers are being killed for their faith and to try to help their wives and the children, widows and orphans, still suffering, but they do it willingly because Jesus not only changed lives 2,000 years ago, he's still changing lives today. And they said, you can take my stuff, but you can't take my soul. And so they willingly did that. And torture, and even some of them died. You say, but Brother Rocky, there are many people who suffer for their beliefs and their causes, and they could be deceived. And I agree. That's right. Here's the difference. These people would have known if Jesus really came back to life or not. So we can get together and make a plan. Hey, let's just tell it. We're going to steal his body. We're going to hide it so nobody finds it. And let's just tell everybody Jesus came back to life. But when you start beating us and hurting us and taking our stuff and tortured and jailed and even killed, somewhere along the line, you would expect someone just say, wait a minute. Let me just be honest, but not one, because they had seen him. They ate with him. They touched him. They interacted with him. They didn't all get together and just have some hallucination. It was at different times, different people, and different places. As Luke said, it's infallible proof Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, he still has power, resurrection power, to change us today, just like he did 2,000 years ago, under the power of his Holy Spirit. Thank God. Thank God. Has the Holy Spirit drawn you? Has he convicted you of sin and drawn you to believe the truth that you are loved by a God so much you can't describe it in human language? And and drawn you to the cross to say, Jesus, you are my only hope of salvation and righteousness, not just because you died and shed your sinless blood on the cross, but because you defeated sin, Satan, and death, and I believe you are Lord. That's how he changes us. And then the process of being changed begins. And it's a lifelong process. And we promote that process as we stay in close fellowship with him. That is the key, brothers and sisters, to stay in close fellowship with him. Let me ask you to turn to Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. I'm going to read a couple more and I'm done. Acts chapter 15. And let me give you a scripture if you want to write this down. Just how God brings about that change. It's found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. Again, we'll have it on the screen while you're turning to Acts 15. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my absence or in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Would you turn to someone next to you and tell them, you just got to work it out sometime. He did not say work for it. We can't. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will, he gives us the desire, and the power. It is God who works in you both to will and to do, the desire and the power to do what? For his good pleasure, to do his will. I know, Brother Mark, sometimes you pray, work it in us. Sometimes I pray, Lord, help me work it out. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me, even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it. But we can cooperate with him and work it out, and that's how we grow, and that's how we change by his grace. It's not our human willpower. I'm going to do better. I've done that so much and failed. I have nothing to offer the Lord except surrender and just lay my will down and say, Lord, if I'm going to change, I need your help. It's only going to be by your spirit, by your grace, but ultimately for your glory. Jesus is still changing. Thank you, Lord. Stay close to him. Do God's word. He doesn't just save us, brothers and sisters, to take us to heaven one day. He saves us to transform us and use us to extend his kingdom and his reign right now, right here on earth. His blood cleanses us from all sin. He makes us kings and priests, his ambassadors to disciple people. Acts chapter 15, verse 6. Where am I? I got to back up. Acts 15, 6 says, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Verse 8. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them, those who were non-Jewish, by giving them the same Holy Spirit as he did to us. And then verse 9, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. There is no cleansing of our heart from sin other than the blood of Jesus that washes it all away when we put our faith in him as Lord. He purifies our heart, and then that change takes place in a moment in the sense that we are born again and God's Spirit lives on the inside. But it's a lifelong process of working it out and walking it out to grow more like Jesus. Sometimes I get frustrated with myself. I'll get a little attitude or get snappy or something like that. I'm like, Lord, am I ever going to get this right? Y'all probably don't have any mess with that, but... I say, here I am again, Lord, help me, And he patiently and persistently does. I thank God, man, I'm not where I should be, I'm sure, for being saved this many years. And all I can say is I just thank God. If I've grown any at all, I'm not where I was. All to the glory of God. Not me. Jesus is just still changing lives. I'm just one of them that says, Lord, I need you, please. Keep working in me and help me to work it out. And that next verse said, do it all without complaining and arguing. I said, Lord, help me again. That's one I need to work out every once in a while as you work it in. All right. Let me give you Acts chapter 17. Last one, Acts chapter 17. Thank God, he's still changing. And I want to say this before I read this last scripture, because this really, I think, sums it up from like creation on even to the second coming, about how Jesus just changes and works and what his resurrection means and why we really need to heed this. So before I read that, though, I want to say this in an encouraging way. Let's not be believers when it comes to believing the truth that God loves us. Jesus really did die on the cross to pay for our sins, and he really is alive. Yes. And we believe that, and we believe him for salvation. But I want, please hear how I'm saying this, okay? I love you. I love you. All right. I'm saying it to myself too. Let's not be unbelieving. I didn't say unbelievers. I said, let's not be unbelieving that he is still who he said he was and who he is by the power of his Holy Spirit in our daily lives. So that means that when I have need, when we have need, I'll say it that way, when we have need, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace, not arrogantly, but confidently and humbly. Come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, because Jesus is alive and because Jesus is still changing lives. He's a very present help in that time of need. And when we need direction and we need guidance, because Jesus is alive, he is the Lord, our shepherd, who will lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's believe. When we have need or when we lack provision, he is the Lord, our provider. Let's believe that he's going to be our provider to meet that need. When we are troubled and all kind of fears, let's believe, because Jesus is alive, that he is the Lord, our peace. For every battle that we face, every battle that we face, let's believe that Jesus is alive and the Lord is our victory. And every time we fall along the way in this walk with the Lord, let's believe that Jesus is still alive. He's still changing lives, and he is the Lord, our righteousness. We have no righteousness outside of him. Jesus is still changing lives, and by his grace, thank you, Lord, he's changing mine. Oh. Lord, help us in those times when we need you to just be who you are. All right, where did I say? Acts 15. All right, let me read these verses. I'm done. Acts 17. Let me get there. Oh, my goodness. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Verse 26 of Acts 17. And he, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Why? So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I love that. When we feel like God's a million miles away, he is not. Those are just feelings. He's close to everyone. It doesn't say just Christians here. He's near and he's available. That's why he set it up within our own spirit that we look for him. And then he says this in verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said, that we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and men's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked in times past, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus is alive, and we will face this resurrected Jesus one day. We'll face him as Savior and Redeemer and Lord and run into his presence, or we'll face him as judge. I don't want anyone to face him. You don't have to. We don't have to. We can believe and let him change us. Believe in him as Lord. And this is the three responses. Some people mocked. That was fairy tale. I don't believe that. Mary had a little lamb. I remember going to school with a guy who said that one time. Some said, we'll listen to it. We'll put it off. But we'll think about it. But then thank God some believed. So this morning, are you going to mock? Put it off? Or will you believe? Choose wisely. Thank God. The Lord is near. And the Lord is working and changing us to grow. I want to even ask you that. I want to close here in prayer. But how would you say God is, if you know him, how is he working in your heart right now to help change you to grow more like Christ? What area is he working in right now? And you say, I don't know if he's working in my heart. Will you open your heart to him? If you open your heart to him, he will. He doesn't barge in. He knocks and waits for us to open. And if we do, he comes in and begins the work of grace in us. Can we stand together? He is still changing lives. Would you? Yes. So, just, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good word.
So, thank you. But just think about that a moment. How is God working? See, you think to help you grow in Christ's likeness. And will you cooperate with him and trust him? Submit to him. Lord, we do ask you to just have your way now. Lord, you are here. And you are moving. And we say thank you. Would you just tell the Lord, have your way in me right now. Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief if you have to say that. Please don't leave this place without being right with God. Please don't get off the website without being right with God.